Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And I don't know if you heard about the story of Liam Morrison. This is a story from maybe a week or so ago, and I just haven't had a chance to get to it, and I wanted to take a moment to at least talk about it a little bit. But Liam Morrison is a student at a middle school? I believe that's right. He's a seventh grader at Nichols Middle School in Middleboro, Massachusetts. And he was in class one day, in gym class, and they took him out of gym class because they had to have him meet with school staff, who told him that people were complaining about the statement on his shirt, that what he had on his shirt made people feel unsafe. And these comments, made some news on Twitter, Libs of TikTok, which is a conservative satire of liberalism site. And he was told that he needed to change his shirt. And so he decided to go to the city council meeting, the school board meeting. And at the school board meeting, young Liam Morrison stood up and had to say. And what did he say?
Good evening. My name is Liam Morrison. I'm in the 7th, 10th grade at Nichols Middle School. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. I never thought that the shirt I wore to school on March 21st would lead me to speak with you today. On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe. They told me that I wasn't in trouble, but it sure felt like I was. I was told that I would need to remove my shirt before I could return to class. When I nicely told them that I didn't want to do that, they called my father. Thankfully, my dad supported my decisions and came to pick me up. What did my shirt say? Five simple words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening. Just a statement I believe to be a fact.
He got pulled out of class because he wore a shirt that said there are only two genders. And he got told to change his shirt because people felt like they were unsafe around him in the seventh grade.
He wore a triggering shirt on purpose.
Triggering?
It
he
is,
wore a
not
shirt that
me.
Expresses a point of view, a political point of view that under New York Times versus Sullivan.
In the seventh grade? Oh, okay.
If it's his belief, and if they allow kids to wear shirts with messages, triggering, it's just an expression. If somebody else wore a shirt that said,
hey,
there are
14
genders, right.
Then that would be triggering maybe to that
kid. It'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm for free speech. Now, did he have a thought that maybe there would be some reaction? Of course. It's the triggering part I'm not a fan of. But yeah, of course. But that's the point. The teachers who had him, you saw him wearing this shirt and are telling him to change it. What did they think he was going to do?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't realize that anybody would be bothered by this. I mean, of course. Of course.
I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. Not one person, staff, or student told me that they were bothered by what I was wearing. Actually, just the opposite. Several kids told me that they supported my actions and that they wanted one too.
In other words, other, at least some students, like the shirt. Some students, I'm sure, dislike the shirt. We're not quite sure whether a student complained, whether a teacher complained, whether an administrator complained. We're not quite sure, but...
I was told that the shirt was a disruption to learning. No one got up and stormed out of class. No one burst into tears. I'm sure I would have noticed if they had. I experience disruptions to my learning every day. Kids acting out in class are a disruption, yet nothing is done. Why do the rules apply to one, yet not another? I feel like these adults were telling me that it wasn't okay for me to have an opposing view. Their arguments were weak, in my opinion.
And remember, this is not an administrator wearing it, although you would think that if the administrator were, say, I don't know, the biology teacher, that it might be okay, because that's a question. A lot of people have asked the question, well, do they teach biology at this school? Well, that's a question, right?
I didn't go to school that day to hurt feelings or cause trouble. I have learned a lot from this experience. I learned that a lot of other students share my view. I learned that adults don't always do the right thing or make the right decisions. I know that I have a right to wear a shirt with those five words. Even at 12 years old, I have my own political opinions, and I have a right to express those opinions. Even at school, this right is called the First Amendment to the Constitution. My hope in being here tonight is to bring the school committee's attention to this issue. I hope that you will speak up for the rest of us so we can express ourselves without being pulled out of class. Next time, it may not only be me. There might be more students that decide to speak out. Thank you for your time and good night.
Thank you.
So there's a long history of the question of what degree of free speech students have on campus. By the way, I said New York Times versus Sullivan Earl. That's not right. It was the Tinker decision. That was the one where the students were wearing the armbands against the Vietnam War in class. And you have this conversation, you know, to what degree do kids have freedom inside the school? And the answer is they don't lose their rights or they don't forfeit their rights at the schoolhouse door. You can still have limits on speech. You can still have limits on attire. You can still have limits on expression to some degree. But you have to be very careful that you don't say, well, this speech is unacceptable because it expresses this viewpoint, which is exactly what he was doing there. So good for him. And by the way, in seventh grade, oh man, I wish I'd have been that articulate in the seventh grade. 6:16 on News Radio 92.3. But here is I've said this many times, and it's one thing that has to be reminded. There's no neutral. Because if you say that, you know, all the rainbow stuff is good, that's not neutral. If you say we're going to, you know, that's at least some of the rainbow stuff is not good, that's not neutral. If you just, depending on what you allow or disallow for all of the speech, if you let everything go, that's also not a position of real neutrality. The problem with these things is that we have a shared educational experience in a semi-public space called school where kids are going to have divergent views. And what do you do about that? And what do you do about that as a school that's going to make choices about what's in and not in the curriculum, whether it's a moment of silence or whether it's Bible reading or whether it's teaching about alternate sexuality or whether it's teaching about human origins? These things it's almost impossible on any of these subjects to be genuinely neutral. And that's the challenge for every school. 437-1620 Candy has traffic on the fives.
So did Ben Shapiro Jr. get it in trouble? Did he get to go back to school?
Well,
the
I think
next
it's
day?
Ben Shapiro's grandson, actually.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I know. Same age, same person. Slow near Barrancas and Pace Boulevard, North V and Gadsden Street, showing a slowdown, very slow in Cervantes near W for that reason. And East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, still closed through the end of the month when they work on the drainage project. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. Text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent.
Hey, if you've got HVAC work you need to do, you want to pick up the phone and know that you've got the right company, the right products, the right installers, professionalism across the board, that's Peden Air Conditioning and Heating. And in fact, right now, what they've got is a $49 AC inspection in Pensacola, Fort Walton, and Panama City. So, you know, right here. But if you might live in a little different area, remember I've been telling you for a little while that they are expanding because they have a lot of offices. They are expanding into Baldwin County. If you live in Baldwin County... Okay, if you live in Baldwin County, they just started servicing Baldwin County on May 1st, and it's a $29 AC inspection in Baldwin County only. The first 400 customers in Baldwin County actually get a free SmartCare membership, and you have 100% satisfaction guarantee on all of their work, fast, reliable service from the pros that you can trust. So Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical, if you need AC work, you need heating work, you need electrical work, call Peden, PEADEN.com.
Climatech. Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. We've all heard the saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. And the Florida Panhandle, it's both. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. While we can't do a whole lot about the heat and humidity outside your home, we can make a big difference in the comfort and humidity inside your home. Our high-efficiency comfort systems are designed to reduce humidity, save on energy cost, be better for the environment, at the same time, keeping your home more comfortable. Combine that with instant rebates up to $1,200 and available energy tax credits up to $2,000, and a new high-efficiency comfort system is the way to go when your home needs a new system. Want to know more? Give me a call.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, the University of West Florida has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join Melissa Webb and Sabrina Capps on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss the graduate school at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa is here to help take the pressure off of you finding the perfect Mother's Day gift this year. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you with the gift of renewal and relaxation. Stillwater's offers a variety of spa treatments, including facials, massages, and more. Mother's Day gift certificates can be purchased online at stillwatersmedspa.com or in person at the spa located in downtown Pensacola. Stillwater's Medical Spa, Pensacola's world-class luxury spa.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
All right. Remove the teeth marks from your lower lip. 622. You know how you white man's overbite when you
when you're playing the fake drums.
When
you're
when you're air drumming it. That's right. 622 on.
It is though. So I dance.
622 News Radio 92.3. Oh, big news! Did you hear this? We have a mystery, a crime, ish. A mystery has been solved. The mystery of the 500 pounds of pasta dumped in the New York or in the New Jersey riverside in the forest.
Yeah, there was a whole trail of macaroni. Now tell them why.
There's a giant, like, yeah, and it's all kinds of spaghetti and macaroni and everything. And if you look at it, you're like, how much could that be? And then you look at a picture like, oh my God. This is like if the if the Olive Garden delivery truck flipped over on its side and everything spilled out on the side of the river, and then they picked up the truck and left and you didn't know what happened. That's what you've got here. Well, it turns out, here's the story. There's a guy who was cleaning out his mom's house when she passed away. And
what was she hoarding, Andrew?
500 pounds of uncooked pasta, you know, for the pasta apocalypse, you know, when you can't get your pasta anymore. So he thought the way to solve this problem is I'll go dump it in the forest. Maybe he thinks it's biodegradable or something.
I'm
or
sure
the,
he
animals
thought the animals
will
animals
eat,
were
it.
Eat
right.
it. Yeah.
So he dumps it out there dry. And then it rains, and the pasta, being relatively absorbent, soaks up the rain, and then you've got, you know, the pasta apocalypse over here. So no big deal. Just don't eat too much of it, dear. 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
President Biden asking for flags to be lowered in honor of the Allen, Texas outlet mall shooting victims. Flags remain at half staff until sunset Thursday. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen calling on Congress to do its job so the White House doesn't have to consider emergency options to avoid defaults.
If they fail to do it, we will have an economic and financial catastrophe that will be of our own making.
And Yellen was on ABC's This Week. She says it's the responsibility of Congress to raise the debt ceiling and called the 14th Amendment a crisis. Closing arguments scheduled to start today in the Lower Manhattan civil trial where former President Donald Trump is being accused of rape and defamation. Trump will not be testifying in the trial. He's denied all accusations of wrongdoing and says that Carol made up the story to sell copies of her book.
By the way, have you watched any of his, like, comments from this deposition? I will confess, I don't like to cover a story if I haven't listened to a lot more context, but there was one clip that I saw that just was kind of one of those, what, sort of things. I'll play it for you here in just a second. David, thanks for the update. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not a lot to see right now. And, there's another one. 29. And, of course.
As I say.
Use caution there. It looks like it has been cleared out. 29, this is just south of Quintet Road. It looks like there is an accident. And it is southbound, but it has been moved off to the side. Certainly, if you know different, let me know. If you have any traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you've got an import, you've got a Porsche, Mercedes, a Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, BMW, Lexus, you know, these are cars that you pay a little extra for. You do not have to pay extra to service them. Just take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. You don't have to take them to the dealership. Same for your diesel engines. You don't have to take those to the dealership. Go to Bobby Likas. Save a buck. Get good service, preventative maintenance, routine, scheduled checkups, like for your body. It's like a healthcare clinic for your car. That's the philosophy behind the name of the website, carclinicservice.com. Where you can find out more information or schedule an appointment or just drop in. And, you know, even if it's not an import, even if it's not a truck, whatever, if you're just your daily driver, your domestic, whatever, they work on all these cars all the time. Carfax rated them top rated service center in 2021 with 4.5 average reviews or above of Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. So I was talking about this Trump testimony in the, the trial, and he had done, you know, what, some sit down for the grand jury, I guess, and then he did not testify at the actual trial, and the defense didn't even call witnesses. The prosecution quit their case, and the defense quit their case. I guess they're supposed to be closing arguments today. I don't follow this stuff all that closely. There's a lot of stuff I have to choose to ignore, okay? And certain plot lines, you don't hear me talk about them because I'm kind of paying attention to them at a distance. But I did think his comments, the one clip that I saw, was super odd.
In this video, I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet, just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the you can do anything. That's what you said, correct?
Well, historically, that's true with stars.
It's true with stars that they can grab women by the
well, that's what, it's. If you look over the last million years, I guess that's been largely true. Not always, but largely true. Unfortunately or fortunately.
And you consider yourself to be a star?
I think you can say that, yeah.
The part about that that makes me pause is the unfortunately or fortunately? Or fortunately? I mean, as a matter of factual claim, sure. You know, famous people get away with a lot. Especially if they're musical or performance or, you know, TV or political. Right, stars. But, or fortunately? What is that?
Okay, I'm not trying to defend it. That's just how he talks.
That's true.
It's how he talks. And he does.
He feels like that's his way of kind of not committing and not saying. It's an odd thing to say. And, of course, I'm a star, you know, so 628, which he is. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Does that mean the one for the okay. 628 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, speaking of. So there's a thing that came out about Tucker Carlson that seems to explain why he left Fox involuntarily. Did you hear about this?
No.
So the irony of this is that it had nothing to do with anything we had known about before. There was a text that he had that was going to come out in the trial. Here's the allegation. The story is that Fox knew this would come out in the trial. They didn't want it to come out. So they thought, we'll pay off Dominion to avoid having this come up, but we're going to get rid of Tucker Carlson. because when he was talking about this incident where I guess it was some anti-Antifa guys ganged up on an Antifa kid and beat the crap out of him. And his comment, amongst other things, was, that's not how white men fight. Like, white men are better than that. Like, white men wouldn't stomp a kid, wouldn't gang up on a kid. And there's really no way to explain that comment other than, right? It might seem like a fairly bland and benign thing, and it did to me at first. I'm like, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, yeah, you just really can't explain that comment. There's no way. But I will tell you the thing that bothers me about this story, and I really question whether I would even report on it because, yeah, I'll tell you what, that was disclosed by like a whistleblower, anonymous source kind of thing, you know, and it was redacted from the official court documents. But it's been out there and circulated so widely, like, I would rather not report on stuff like that because I feel like you're rewarding the people who break the rules for disclosing the things they shouldn't disclose legally, right? But just sort of in the realm of weird things that people have said, and if you didn't understand the story, maybe that helps solve the puzzle for you.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Allen, Texas community gathering for a vigil overnight to honor the eight people killed in Saturday's Outlet Mall shooting.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Authorities in Texas have identified the suspected gunman as 33-year-old Dallas resident Mauricio Garcia. Authorities are investigating Garcia's possible radical beliefs after he was found wearing a patch on his chest that suggests he had neo-Nazi leanings. On the other side of the state, in Brownsville, Texas, eight people are dead and at least 10 others hurt after a driver plowed his car through a group of people waiting at a bus stop outside a migrant shelter. The driver was hospitalized and police plan to arrest him once he's released. No word if the accident was intentional. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 74 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. Well, the countdown clock ticking for Governor DeSantis announcing an expected presidential run, especially now that the Florida legislative session is over. Barry University's Sean Foreman says former President Trump still ahead by double digits in the latest GOP primary polls.
I think that Trump has been able to increase his lead in the polls because of the support that Trump's getting around his legal troubles from people on the right.
And that is Barry University's Sean Foreman there. And he says that Governor DeSantis will be touting the conservative-friendly laws passed during the legislative session as a major victory. It'll be a busy week for the governor as he's traveling to Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa this week. Well, dozens of people gathered at an area church for an opioid summit over the weekend. They were educating the community on addiction and resources available for those in addiction situations.
Escambia County currently has one of the highest overdose rates in the whole state of Florida per capita.
That is the CDAC's Director of Community Prevention, Denise Manassa, who's talked with Channel 3. And she says most overdoses come from fentanyl. Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, of course, both have some of the highest drug overdose rates in the state. In Escambia County, EMS has been called to 680 overdoses so far this year. That summit was held at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pace. Escambia County Sheriff's Office says a suspect was shot and killed after a standoff at a home in the 4700 block of Helton Lane over the weekend happened on Sunday. Deputies say the suspect had taken a hostage and threatened deputies and bail bondsmen. Deputies initially responded to serve felony warrants. After a standoff that lasted several hours, deputies say the suspect was shot and killed as he attempted to leave with the hostage at knife point. The victim had been taken hostage was taken to a hospital for treatment. Right now, there's no update on their condition. FDLE investigating the deputy-involved shooting. And a 54-year-old Milton man has died after a crash on State Road 87 in Santa Rosa County. That happened at the intersection with Hickory Hammock Road Saturday afternoon. The Florida Highway Patrol says a pickup truck ran a red light, hit the sedan that was being driven by the victim. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. Two other people in the car had only minor injuries. That was a 62-year-old woman and a 9-year-old boy. The driver of the pickup truck also had minor injuries from that crash, and FHP says that there are charges pending after the completion of a traffic homicide investigation. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Accident at 29, Highway 29, and this is in Cantonment. It's just south of Quintet Road, but not showing any slowdowns. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, of course, closed just south of Coppell Drive, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a small chance at a stray shower, 20% chance of rain with a high near 81. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. For Tuesday, another beautiful and nice humid day, 84 degrees for your high, 30% chance of a few stray showers. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Cloudy skies right now, 74 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 71. Still a few showers reported in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. The countdown continues on Capitol Hill as federal lawmakers try to strike some deal that would raise the debt ceiling before the country runs out of money to pay its bills. President Biden and a bipartisan group of top lawmakers will meet tomorrow to discuss the impending issue. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned the deadline could come as soon as June 1st. That's less than 4 weeks from today. Over the weekend, she urged Congress to take action to avoid what she called economic chaos. More thrills were sought at Six Flags during the first quarter of this year. The theme park operator beat expectations, even as its guests spent more at their parks than a year ago. Six Flags is ramping up hiring ahead of the expected summer tourism surge, expected back to pre-pandemic levels. On Wall Street, investors are wondering whether this trading week will begin like last one ended, with sizable gains. All three major indexes climbed more than 1.5% on Friday. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses. So don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Join Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors to find a better way you can successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Escambia County is full of opportunities, and your next opportunity could be right around the corner.
On Thursday, May 18th, Escambia County is hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. This is your opportunity to speak with hiring managers and apply for your next career in person.
See our current openings and learn more at myescambia.com/careers.
We'll see you at the Escambia County Career Fair on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And I ain't gonna take any more, believe me. The sun in your eyes made some of the lies worth believing. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Look, the kids were great, the choir was great, but if you want all the white singers to look good, don't invite the black singers to the show, because they stole it. They were fantastic. There was what, 6 or 8, something like that, in the black choir. It's not a quartet, I guess it'd be about an octet. Anyway, they were fantastic during the coronation on Saturday. I don't know how, I did not get up to watch it. I watched it on tape delay. Because that's what I do. But yes, I did watch it. No, for the sake of argument, I am not a monarchist. I'm not a supporter. I'm a believer in democracy, not the monarchy. I don't believe that political power passes through hereditary bloodlines of a special race of superhumans who deserve to be worshipped because of their God-given right, because they descended by the people who seized the crown back in, you know, the thousands, basically. I don't believe in it, okay? I'm an American. But it's still a significant thing. And by the way, and you know, as a Christian, okay, I understand there's some tension here because, again, as an American, I believe in the idea that political authority resides within the individual, and we pass it away temporarily under a thing we call electoral authority to the delegated representatives to carry our authority on our behalf. And if they violate that, we can take it back from them. That was the justification of the revolution, that, you know, when the government fails to protect these God-given rights, then you have the right to take the power back from them and create new governments in order to rule over you on the basis of the proper authority. And the Brits eventually recognized this because, they, you know, they had the Magna Carta, which is a step in the right direction. And now, of course, the sovereign doesn't really have much of any authority, right? And they've basically jettisoned the sexism of it because, you know, now male or female offspring, Charles just happened to be the oldest. But, you know, so lots of things to be discussed here, including anybody who knows your Bible, you know that in the Old Testament you have an awful lot of hereditary monarchy, and, you know, the idea that bloodlines matter, and, you know, there are the Jews and there are the Gentiles, and, you know, Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah. And so you have, you know, all of this stuff to some degree really does matter to God. The question is, you know, is it the basis of modern political authority? We say no. The Brits still say, not really, you know, but a little bit, because they've moved away from it largely. And that's kind of why Biden doesn't go, you know, the president doesn't go to this, because it's awkward for us as Americans, you know, to go, like, participate in honoring the political authority bequeathed to somebody on the basis of blood, which we rejected when we had, you know, the revolution. You know, so it's kind of an awkward thing, right? So the American presidents don't go. Instead, we send our wives, which would have been kind of, you know, Jill Biden goes. She was the first first lady to go, by the way, which I thought was interesting. So back to the ceremony. Obviously, there's all kinds of pomp and circumstance and the gold and the gold and the gold and the, you know, all of the stuff. For me, what I found interesting about it, again, not as an American, because as an American, I'm like, you know, that's my view as an American. Of course, I have that view about a lot of things. But as a Christian, I think it's really interesting to think about kind of the message and the fact that it is, you know, nobody questions whether there's a separation of church and state in England, because the Church of England is the state church of the UK, right? It is the church. In fact, as a part of his oath, he has to specifically promise that, I swear I'm a Protestant, and I will only bequeath this throne to another Protestant.
I, Charles, do solemnly and sincerely, in the presence of God, profess, testify, and declare that I am a faithful Protestant, and that I will, according to the true intent of the enactments which secure the Protestant succession to the throne, uphold and maintain the said enactments to the best of my powers according to law.
Yeah, and look, we at this point in British history, we have enough respect for the other groups of Christians like Catholics, like Eastern Orthodox, that we can at least allow them to participate in the benediction. Remember, that was part at the benediction. You had all these different Christian denominations or Christian entities participating. But they're not in the ceremony proper. That is a that is a Church of England ceremony. That is an Anglican ceremony. And then when you get outside, when that's all and said and done, then right at the very end in the processional, when he's leading and they're singing the Handel and they're doing the triumphant thing, and then he goes out and he talks with the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Muslim and the other religions. Now, they're not inside, but they're not totally outside either. Those were all important notes to King Charles to show kind of religious tolerance, which has, you know, long been, originally that was a problem for England. It has become the thing that they, much like us here in the United States, believe in. Even though there is no separation of church and state, there's a high degree of tolerance for other religions, peoples of other faiths, and, as Charles showed, women and other races, you know, blacks obviously showing a fairly prominent position in this ceremony. But again, all of that is, that to me was all fairly standard. Good moves, all. The thing that caught me is, I just figure if you're going to have hundreds of millions, and I'm sure the viewership was hundreds of millions, if not more, people around the world watching this thing, the emphatic talk about wisdom coming from the Bible, power and discernment and grace coming from the Holy Spirit, being a servant leader rather than, you know, a military conquering leader. Although, again, go back to the origins, it's a bit dicey. But, you know, that stuff I found interesting. We'll get to that in a second. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And showing one accident. It is 29. It looks like it's southbound, but not showing a roadblock. It looks like it's clear, in fact. This is 29 to south of Quintet Road in Cantonment. Not showing anything else, but certainly if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Somebody texted in and said, you know, England State Church was the core reason our Constitution forbid Congress from making any law respecting an establishment of religion. And that's true. But, oh man, there's so much history to go into here. We had state religions in the colonies. You know, Maryland was Catholic. Maryland was Catholic, right? I mean, you had state religions and oaths that were religious oaths in the colonies. The Constitution didn't forbid the state, literally the state, from having religious oaths. It forbid, you know, the establishment of religion at the federal level. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It was not until the incorporation doctrine that came in after the 14th Amendment that you started having the rules about speech and religion applied against the states and the municipalities. Until that time, it was perfectly normal for us to have. So this idea like you couldn't have government entanglement with religion, that's historic revisionism. That's false. People didn't come here so that they could separate religion from government. They came here to separate from the Church of England and from oppression and from certain kinds of religious institutions. But they very much had religious entangled with government from the beginning in this country. Anyway, that's just, you know, again, we get this revisionist history gets taught. Back to the ceremony itself. I thought it was fabulous. And again, I'm torn because on the one hand, I'm an American. I'm not into this. On the other hand, the high church has always appealed to me. The stained glass in Westminster is a beautiful venue. And the singing and the wonderful robes, which remind us of what heaven will be like. And the talk about, again, the Holy Spirit and the Bible and giving the Bible and saying to remind you how to rule properly.
Sir, to keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God, as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable thing that this world has to offer. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God.
And then having him promise to rule with grace and justice and to uphold the law and to tolerate and to just, I mean, all of it, it's good. Like, the reminder of how religion is the underpinning of good philosophical governance, it's rich. And that's what I respect in this. Sometimes as Americans, we, you know, everything is new and revolutionary and sometimes industrial, and I was talking with a friend about this, you know, that the significance of history you get when you go to Europe is just completely different. You know, you go to, and you wander around Ireland, you wander around Germany, and you come across a place that's been a ruins. Like, it was a, you know, it was an abbey or something, and or a castle. And it's been a ruins for 700 years. It's a ruins for three times as long as our country's existed. You know, like, you get a completely different sense of the scope of history and, you know, what really is significant over time. Anyway, so, but I digress. The point of all this to me was, it's good to be reminded of where the authority is supposed to come from by the guidance of God, where what the political aims of a society are supposed to be. The Archbishop's homily was fantastic.
We are here to crown a king, and we crown a king to serve. What is given today is for the gain of all. For Jesus Christ announced a kingdom in which the poor and oppressed are freed from the chains of injustice. The blind see, the bruised and brokenhearted are healed. That kingdom sets the aims of all righteous government, all authority.
Such a brilliant statement about the goal of government is prosperity for all. Right. And of course, we differ on means. We differ on which mechanisms best produce that. But the idea that we're supposed to be creating a place in which all can thrive, all can have a richer life, that, I mean, that really is right. That is the goal of government. If government's not aiming at that, then what's it doing? Now, does it do it through widespread liberty, or does it do it through control and guidance and coercion? Well, you know, that's where conservatives and liberals differ quite a bit. But the goal is prosperity for all, absolutely, and the respect for human flourishing. I mean, of course, and through service.
And the kingdom also sets the means of all government and authority. For Jesus doesn't grasp power or hold on to status. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, was anointed not to be served, but to serve. He creates the unchangeable law of good authority, that with the privilege of power comes the duty to serve. Service is love in action.
I mean, that's amen stuff, right? That, of course. You know, that inversion of the traditional model of the people with the power, they get everything served to them. That they are the ones who are making the decisions and they are the ones who accumulate power. Whereas, you know, kind of the Christian model is, hey, if you want to be a king, be a servant. If you want to, you know, you want to lead, do the menial. Wash people's feet and, you know, like give up your life and give up your power. That's the model. So anyway, it was just lots of tension, lots of conflict between, you know, what you believe about high church and low church and what you believe about monarchy and democracy and political authority and all that. But for my money, the simple takeaway is, if I'm going to watch a guy get given the orb and the globe and the scepter and the rod and the crown and then the other crown and then the other sword and then the other sword, you know, like, okay, all right. You know, there's elements of, you know, theology built into all of that as well. But if I have a couple hundred million people maybe watching around the world and what they're hearing is a mention of God and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and Jesus Christ, I will take that. I still think the black group got it best. They were fantastic. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3. If you have thoughts, 437-1620. We'll talk about them when we come back. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Grits and Greens takes the stage. A powerful four-piece band best described as rock and roll with a soulful and jam-heavy delivery. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
National average for a gallon of gas, $3.53. Florida is still high, $3.55. You got Mississippi at almost $3 even. California is $4.82. And Navarre, $3.14 east of the Walmart, $3.13 west of the Walmart, $3.08 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy, $3.19 at the Exxon Improper. Those prices have come down quite a bit. $3.03 in Milton at the Raceway, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy. Still pace is terrible. Not generally, but the gas stations. $3.23. The prices of gas are bad. At the Circle K, it's $3.23. Pensacola, $2.92, I think, at the Walmart. Yeah, $2.92 at 9 Mile, $2.92 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, $3.06 at the Navy. Murphy is significantly better than everything else in the region. Candy has traffic on the fives. Candy?
And again, just watching that one accident, 29, it's just south of Quintent Road, and it does not look like a roadblock. That's the only thing that I'm seeing right now. This is brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy. Oh, and East Bay Boulevard, of course, in Navarre closed just south of Coppell as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Very good. Now into the newsroom where David Wayne is our headlines. David?
There's another protest planned today in connection with that chokehold death of a homeless man in the New York City subway. Numerous protesters were arrested on Saturday for apparently jumping onto the tracks and halting train service at one station. It was, of course, 1 week ago that former Marine Daniel Penny put Neely in a chokehold on the subway. Witnesses say Neely was acting erratically and making threats. The district attorney's office in Manhattan could present details of that case to a grand jury to decide whether to bring charges soon. Today, the 147th annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. That's happening in Queens. Thousands of participants representing more than 200 breeds of dogs are competing today. And Arlington National Cemetery making some changes in how they get military heroes to their final resting place. The horses that pull those caskets are on a 45-day break now. The Army started that pause last week because they want to focus on the health of their herd after four horses in the unit died over the last 2 years. Officials say they're looking into temporary solutions so funerals aren't impacted, such as using contracted services to provide escorts.
Wow. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. That's terrible to think about. We had that same sort of background of a story at the Derby over the weekend. Did you see this? Like seven horses had died at that track in the last week before the Derby. That's what? I think that's
very,
right.
Very sad,
I know it's seven, and I know the drive. I thought it was even like during the week. So, wow, crazy. But of course, the race itself was, you know, weird, super weird race. But you know, you had a 16-1 winds up winning in the end.
Trying to hold off Mage. Mage has taken the lead here as they come into the final series.
So Mage wins at, I think it's 16-1 in the end. It paid. I had, we always pick it. Me and my boys, we always pick one. And I had picked Angel of Empire, which was the 4-1 favorite. 20 more feet.
Oh, no.
Angel of Empire was surging, had come from all the way in the back and was surging 20 more feet, and Angel of Empire would have had it. All right, a very quick future news here. Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will a U.S. president ever go to a coronation of a king? Because we're going to have another one with William, right?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say no. What percentage of Methodist churches will split off this year because of the church split over homosexuality in the church?
Half?
At least 40%, maybe half.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.